It's time for the best 60 minutes of your life. This is the Homer Hour, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. Alongside ESPN's John Anderson, here's Emmy Award winner Homer.
Minutes of your day, the John Anderson Homer Hour. I look forward to the beginning of this show, the John Anderson Homer Hour, as much as any we've ever done. Good afternoon, Professor.
How are you, my friend?
I'm awesome because recently I had Jay Billis on the show. He's my expert on college sports to explain what's going on. And you know what I had to ask him?
I any number of things.
No, you should know. Anytime, the one thing
is when you ask him about. My favorite is when you ask him about putting Barney on the stand.
I did talk to that. I said, I don't know how to introduce you. I think whooping Barney's team is probably the greatest thing. And he just like you could tell. Oh, fine, whatever. Let's go. Let's get started. But you should know that anybody who has ever worked at ESPN is going to be asked one question by me. Do you know that John Anderson high jumped 7'2.5"? And you know what Jay Billis said?
No.
Yeah, that's what he said. No, there's no way. I said, yeah, he did it. And I want you to tell everybody at ESPN, I want everyone to know that because I just want to let you to know he's in the same club as I am. Not the fact that you did it, but just the fact that if anyone wants to call in and say they high jump 7'2.5", I would be impressed. And just so you know, Jay Billis was impressed as well. I don't know that.
Jay Billis had to guard Ralph Sampson in his life. He's done a lot of things that are way more athletically important than that.
I didn't ask him to compare it to anything he's done. I would say that you're probably wrong. Because guarding Ralph Sampson doesn't mean anything. You'd have to guard him well. If you said, hey, I high jumped once, woo! No, that doesn't count. If he put up 30 against Ralph Sampson, then maybe, or I don't know what his... I didn't ask him. I would be curious what his greatest athletic achievement is. I know what it is, but it's not personal. It's the fact that his group turned it around for Mike Krzyzewski. But he credits totally that for who was the star on his team? Tommy Amaker? No, was it? Who was it? It's the other guy. It was, I think.
Johnny Dawkins.
He said Johnny Dawkins was Michael Jordan. Yeah. He said, Johnny Dawkins made us all just like Michael Jordan is. But I think there's the fact that they, and I've seen the 30 for 30, that it took them four. I mean, it wasn't easy. And they got it done. And in the end, that started the turnaround for Mike Krzyzewski. All he's ever said, they lost in the final to Louisville. Was it no Nervous Purvis or whatever his name was? I don't think he was. Yep, I think they believed they should have won that game. I don't remember. But yes, when Jay Billis sees you the next time or talks to you, I will be devastated if he doesn't bring up 7'2.5", because that will just make me think he was just playing along with me. Just be nice to the host. Whatever. No, he seemed in awe of that. So the club continues to get bigger, and I'm proud of it. I heard you on KBN. I was a little disappointed that you weren't more excited about the Brewers than you are, given how great a Brewers fan you are. What?
I'm over the moon.
Right, but I mean, you believe, you know, they could win the World Series. This is the best chance they've had if their pitchers stay healthy since 82. When you have three aces, which they could have, they can beat anybody in a series. Right? Now you're not there yet.
Yep. The pitching in the bullpen gives them a chance, but yeah. just like I was not quite ready to just, you know, lose my mind over how badly they played in the opening weekend with the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
There's still 62 games left in the season. They're 100 games in. Now, right. If you would have seen they're going to have the best record in the bigs 100 games in, I mean, that I would have just said, you want to talk about something. You want to talk about making Jay Bilas just, you know, pretend like he was shocked at something that happened. Like that, there's just no way that happens. They're going to be playing 600 baseball 100 games in. So I love everything about it. But, and again, I don't know. Some of this is, yes, I'm over the moon and I'm a huge Brewer fan. Some of this, though, Homer, and I think you get it. Like, you're tempered after 35 years in this business of you cover the story that is today and you move ahead and you just can't get too far ahead of yourself. Like I said, I think some of that's just professional experience that trumps the 12-year-old in me that would be literally not only listening to the game on the radio, but I'd have my scorebook, right? I'd be scoring at home. I'd literally be one of those guys. Or when I was, you know, that age, and I copied out because the agate page had all the guys' batting averages that were, eligible for the batting title. And I'd copy down Molitor every week to week, and see what they did that week. And I kept Cooper, all those guys. I wish I knew where those reams of yellow legal pads were, where I did that stuff. Which I like to think those kind of things is what helped me be good at my job for 35 years. But 35 years in, it's harder to live and die with my teams and their outcome or get too far out. They're like, yep, that's 100 games in. They have the best record. It's phenomenal to me. And it is amazing. But I think even if they got to the World Series and won, I don't know that anymore I would celebrate like I was a 12-year-old, because just some of that has been lost due to the profession that I was in for so long. But
it's so sad that salt has entered your life so much.
You know,
your life in this business should make you be even crazier with the chance. By the way, the record is so secondary to me. And that's why one of the reasons I'm as positive in terms of the possibility is because they have a great general manager and they have a great manager. There will be nothing Pat Murphy will say the rest of the season that will be as good as when asked for his reaction to his team currently holding the best record in the major leagues at 60-40. My reaction is July 21st. You read into that whatever you'd like. That, you know what that translated is? This don't mean diddly squat. July 21st.
So how come Pat Murphy can say that and you think and I say essentially the same thing?
No, because you know and I know that they have the potential like they've never had before. They have three aces. They'll never be as good as the Dodgers. There's no chance this year they can be as good a team as the Dodgers. No chance. I don't even know the other National League teams. But with those three pitchers, if Woody stays healthy and Miz stays healthy, in a series, they can beat anybody, and that's more important than their record, and they have a really good GM, and they have a good manager. That's the just like, well, you know, the Packer teams. There are some teams that you'd say, yeah, they can do it. I don't know that they will, but you have a belief. The team the Brewers had when they lost in Game 7 to the Dodgers at home. I don't even remember what year that was. That was a year I thought they could do it as well, but not to the same degree because pitching trumps everything. The Brewers have never had a team with the quality, potential quality. And so all I care about the rest of the season is that Miz stays healthy and Woody is healthy. If those three pitch the way they are now, they can win the World Series. I don't care if they win the division or not. Doesn't matter. What do you say to that?
Well, I think you'd like to win the division. I don't want to get in a one game thing. That you know,
I'd like it. I'd like not to, but
no, I'd like to win. So they have to win 30 games, right? They got to get to 90.
Whatever you say. I don't know.
To make sure.
Don't care. I only care about one thing: the health of their pitchers. All right, I'm going to write this stuff down. What they need to do, the salt and sugar of John Anderson. Hold on. They need to get to 90 wins.
When the Packers won the last Super Bowl.
Yeah.
When the Packers won the last Super Bowl, what was their record?
I don't know. They're 6-10-6. They were lucky to get in. The 10-6, I think so.
9-7, something like
that. Yeah.
And then the next year they went what?
15-1, yeah. And I was worried the whole year because their defense wasn't good enough, and it ended up biting them in the butt. It would be like if the Brewers were scoring. It's like the Brewers were scoring all the runs the Cubs are. That wouldn't be near as impressive to me as the pitching they have. And that year, the defense for the Packers wasn't very good. I'd have to look. I think they were 11th or 12th.
Yeah.
So I wasn't.
Just
I was.
There's a lot of real estate to be done yet.
Tons.
All. There's a lot of real estate, and I am all in on you. And I said that with you last week. Every week, they've got. I mean, you say three aces, but they literally seem to have five guys that they trot out, and then whoever. Sometimes they just pull out a sixth guy, and they keep a team scoreless the first five or six innings. It's remarkable.
I know.
And as I said, and the Dodgers, because you look at those first four Dodger games, and I don't know that the Dodgers, they were what, 0-0, 1-1, or what? They scored two runs in four games. Two runs. Right. And they're the Dodgers. They're the world champs, and they got bats. I don't care who's hurt. They got people. And then they come back, and the one time the Dodgers end up with seven runs, and somehow the Brewers end up scoring eight. You know? So yeah. The fact that they managed to somehow play every game to that is staggering. But every one of those guys gives them a chance. And, yes, you get into these series where if it's five games or seven games and you got three guys at the top that can throw, like, you're the boss. But I also tell you that the Atlanta Braves had three guys at their top of the rotation for how long? And won the division how many times?
Mm-hmm.
And won the World Series, what, twice, maybe three times, and they won it once.
Right.
It's a hard thing. So I'm with you. I like their chances. I'm excited. I'm super happy. The number of people that I texted that were back in ESPN that were Mets fans and Yankee fans, like, I don't know if you guys see who's got the best record after 100 games. Yeah, it's us.
I do want to interject a second. The Institute.
I'm very much with Pat Murphy. It's July 21st.
Yeah, well, I'd like the Institute to check. What is the result for the team that has had the best record after 100 games in each of the last 20 years or something? The Institute can go to work. Because that would tell me whether, if it means anything. If it means that if 80% of the teams with the best record after 100 games win the World Series, then I would be even more positive than I am. But I'm guessing that's not the case. I'm guessing the case is, I'm going to go with 58%. Of the teams that have the best record after 100 games win the World Series. What percentage did you say, Professor? I bet you go lower.
It would be really, really great if it was 60%, because then just like their record would be a 60-40 chance.
Yeah. Now, the concern is, to me, is it's hard. You know, Woody could get hurt easily. What?
I think the Astros pulled it off. I think the Astros pulled it off.
Your memory's way better. Whatever you say, your memory's. Somebody's looked it up, or somebody will, since the,
you know. And then there were some that weren't, right? The one year that the Mariners won.
Yeah, 112 or something. Right? They didn't even make the World Series, I don't think, right?
Got beat by the Yankees.
Yes.
You know.
Was that Jeter's Yankees?
The A's went on the streak that one time, you know, Moneyball streak, and then they got out right away. When they came through. So I don't know exactly what it is. It's just, I can't we just enjoy it right now? Do we have to make more of it than it is? Can't I just enjoy this every day?
Yes, you can.
You know, and just let it wash over me?
Yeah, but you put it in its proper perspective. Doesn't mean diddly.
I'll worry about October when we get to October.
Well, but you're, you know, if they continue to do well for the next month, the longer it goes, the more confident you feel, right? And I also have a confidence because when people talk about what should they do, and I go, whatever they do, I'm going to agree with. I have that much belief in Irvin. It's a great feeling, Ab. I felt the same way with Ron Wolf. What do you think of what he did? Whatever he did, I approve. So I don't, you know, I don't think they're going to touch any of their top pitching. They have other pitching. I don't know how much that, you know, they can certainly use more offense, but how far do you go? What do you give up? And do you wait as long as you can to make sure your top three pitchers are all healthy? Because if one of them is not healthy, then the value of adding a bat changes to me significantly. But I will defer to
you. I'm almost, in this case, like, no, I'd like to have a bat, but this idea that they're like, well, the Brewers might be the one team that can afford to get rid of a starter. Like, it's such a premium. Every year, everybody wants to add a starter. So you have extra. It's that position. Why wouldn't you want that? Like, that's the one thing that everything you see, the Brewers have the pitching. They could get rid of somebody to get a bat with a pitcher. And I'm like, as hard as pitching is to come by, as much as we talk about pitching, and you said it, whether it's the three frontline guys that can win you a series or just everybody is always looking for one more pitcher, why would you give one away for a bat, which I get that you want to add more run, but like because somebody is going to have arm trouble or somebody is going to come due with a contract. And now you're going to, you know, because look what happens when they get rid of the guy we sent to the
Hader?
Orioles. No, Hader. No, he needed to go.
Burns?
No, the Burns, Corbin Burns.
Yeah.
And he's been great for them. But, you know, you can't keep every one of those guys. So keep them now until you have to and see what comes with them. But, yeah, I you can't have too much pitching. Like, everybody tells you that all the time. So why would you trade one away? You got to find a different way to get back.
Or someone really young. Yes, the greatness of this team will be the pitching. And you don't know how many of them that you can't change that. You just can't. So I don't know how, but no, they have a ton of good pitching below the top 10 or 11. Jason Wilde is ready. I get to rest. I think we call this the cot segment. You know why that? Because I could lie down in a cot if I wanted to. Next.
It's time for Jason Wilde on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
Training camp, the professor and Jason Wilde. Oh, baby, this is good. Because the professor is nice, he gets to open the segment. Take it away, 7.5.
Yeah, I get to open it because you're on a cot, allegedly. We'll see how long that lasts. Jason, maybe the Zach Tom thing took a while because we had no idea how much money is involved. What do you think of the deal?
I think it's a lot like most Packers contracts. It's got a big signing bonus, in this case the biggest ever given to an offensive lineman in NFL history. And then it gives them the opportunity that if for some reason they want to move on from him, they can do that after a couple of years. Every contract, even Xavier McKinney and Josh Jacobs contracts are basically 2 years and then we'll see. The Aaron Banks contract fits under that. Frankly, his is more of a 1 year deal with a $9.5 million roster bonus due the third day of the league year. So if he's a complete disappointment, which I'm not saying he's going to be, I'm just telling you how that contract is structured. Mm-hmm. It puts them in position to get out of it. And so that seems to be something that they, you know, I don't think they want to pay a lot of people to begin with. And when they do pay them, they want to have some outs. And that's smart. It's not the most confidence that you can show in guys that you sign, but, you know, in Zach Tom's case, he's got $30.2 million worth of reasons to believe that he's all good.
So are the Packers cheap?
Ooh, what a great question.
Maybe to some degree, but I also think they just don't trust guys that are older. And what's the what was that band? Great Whites. You had to have like a mullet growing up in the 80s in Green Bay. Once Bitten, Twice Shy. Didn't they sing that song? I feel
perhaps.
Like. Don't pretend like you don't know. What were you, more of a White Snake guy? Cinderella? What was your thing?
I was
He
not
was
a metal
high
guy.
Jumping. That was his focus.
Not a metal guy.
He was high jumping. Doesn't mean he didn't listen to music, Homer.
I don't see John Anderson as a big music guy growing up. I'm sorry. But I'll stand corrected if he wishes to do it right now. Were you a music guy?
Not
yes
a metal
or no?
Guy. Not a metal guy. Love music. Believe it or not, I'm a very big fan of the blues. Not just
and
the same blues. But,
in high
well,
school?
Yeah, I mean, who doesn't? Oh, my gosh, yeah. In fact, I just unearthed a great
corrected.
Picture of me and a buddy of mine, Steve Sharp, who has written for blues magazines for 20, 30 years now, with the great John Lee Hooker, one of my prized possessions.
Ooh.
From high school. It was a picture of me and John Lee Hooker. Yeah.
That's big time. Yeah, that's impressive. Yeah. You're a blues
traveler,
some might
say. We were getting back to the Packers,
though.
The Packers, mm-hmm. whether their finances or their cheapness, if they're cheap.
Yeah, I think in some instances they certainly are, right? But going back to the metal reference that you didn't get, I think it's more they had the David Bakhtiari situation play out the way it did. And they regretted paying him. They paid Jair Alexander, and then two of the next 3 years after he got that contract, he was missing 10 games. Last year, they paid Kenny Clark again, a third contract. And he played in all the games, but he wasn't very good. And then we learned that he had a foot injury in the opener that he had never really recovered from. So I just think... I think Goody's an ageist more than a cheapskate.
Yeah. So now the Tom thing's in place. If I'm Eglinton Jenkins, I feel better about my what's happening or worse, you think?
Yeah, that's a good question, John. I don't know. Like, because I think his contract situation is independent of what Tom got. I mean, now two guys, I would say this. First of all, from a feelings perspective, and I understand this ain't about feelings, it's about business. But I'm Elgton Jenkins. I did get a second contract. I got an extension. But you've told me that you think I'm an all-pro center. I'm moving to make your offensive line work better to a position that gets paid less. I have been very good for you for a very long time, arguably your best lineman. And you paid two other guys, and you don't want to take money that's already in my contract and just guarantee it so I know I'm going to be here this year and next year. From a feelings perspective and creating ill will, I don't love that. Now, again, Homer and I, one of my few victories with Homer was saying just because you don't have to win every negotiation, and sometimes taking care of your guys is more of a win than getting them cheaper. And so in Elgton Jenkins' case, you already know that if he's on the roster, which he will be, for the opener, his full season's contract salary of $11 million and change becomes guaranteed because he's vested veteran. $18 million for a base salary next year. And the question is, do they want to have such flexibility that they have the ability to move on from him after this season? Is that the holdup? Because your GM is saying that he's an all-pro. We think he can be an all-pro center. And on the flip side, you're not willing to guarantee him money, but you think he's that good? So, again, I don't know if it's precedence. I'm not sure what it is, but I'm surprised that it's lingered, and I'm curious to see what kind of bad feelings or issues this may cause.
Yeah, like I don't think Tom gets this, I get that. Or now that Tom's done, you do me. Because I think NFL GMs are quite capable of doing more than one contract at one time, right? I don't think it's chronological. Okay, I got this guy and this guy. But I do think, you know, it's a choice. Okay, they took care of him. I feel good about that because he eventually got his, he'll take care of me. Or if I'm like, all right, well, they did do that. Who knows if they're going to get to me? And that's kind of more of what I think if he's sitting there. And towards the latter of what you said, it's like, okay, like, I guess you just take care of everybody but me. And I worry more about that than I do the actual money involved, if that makes sense.
It you does. Know? And look, there's...
Is there room for hurt feelings in this thing? I don't know.
Yeah, we're still dealing with humans, right? We're not dealing with robots. Yeah, they're highly paid humans, but they're still humans. And again, it ain't show friends, it's show business, as they say in Jerry Maguire. But the bottom line is that you've got Sean Ryan, who's in a contract year, who I don't think they're going to re-sign. You've got Rasheed Walker, who saved your bacon when David Bakhtiari played one game in 2023 and has started 35 games for you. Now he's competing against what I would argue is probably a little bit of a stacked deck, right? Against a first round pick. Cause if they're silently, under their breath rooting for someone, they're rooting for the first round pick to win the job. And then you've got Elgton Jenkins, who's like, hey man, I'm the linchpin of your reorganization of the offensive line. I don't want a 4-year extension that makes me the highest paid center in the league. I get it, but I would like to know that I'm going to be here this year and next year. And so, again, I'm not saying that because I had a few people I saw on social media say I was too full of angst about Elgton Jenkins. Well, okay, great, but it's not that. It's not that he's my guy. I just understand what he's probably feeling. And again, they're only going to pay so many guys. And that goes back to what I think about Goody, is that I think he views virtually everyone as replaceable. I mean, he even obviously viewed Aaron Rodgers as replaceable, right? So, and again, I'm not saying that that's a bad approach to take. I'm just telling you that that's the realistic approach that he takes. And is that going to work? And are they going to pick the right guys to keep, let go of the right guys, and fill those roles with cheap labor again with guys on rookie contracts that are picked in the third, fourth, and fifth round? And is that going to be enough to win a Super Bowl? We're going to find out, because that's how they're going to go about this business. And they're going to do it with the wide receivers next, right? They're going to have a decision to make with a bunch of wide receivers. They may not pay any of them, for all I know.
Did they just bring in another wide receiver? Why did they bring the kid in from, I guess he's Colorado. I think he's a Vandy kid, but that's because, you know, I live in the SEC country now.
Yeah, I don't know if we're going to go out to practice tomorrow and someone else has some sort of minor injury that they're not able to participate. Obviously, Christian Watson's not participating, but, you know, I thought they had enough camp bodies. They did sign a new international kicker today. They moved on from Alex Hale. They got a new Irishman to be their international player pathway program guy. But yeah, I don't know what the reason is for Will Shepard, other than if you want to have, you know, 12 guys competing for six spots, you got to have a 12th guy.
Is that what it is? That way you got two guys fighting for every spot when we come through. Do you have any big family night plans?
I don't.
Does the family go with you?
They have gone in the past. I'm lucky enough to do a radio program with Packers of Royalty. And so when they were younger and it was early in the time of us doing the show together, Tausch got them field passes, and so they were down on the field for the fireworks, and that was pretty cool. Like, we got some cool pictures of them down there, and Max and Eleanor and Maddie and Sid are all little people back then. But no, for me, you know, family night used to be, and again, I don't want to sound like, oh, I remember how this was back in the old days, but like, Bulaga blows out his ACL, and that was the end of family night. Like, they still have it, they still do the fireworks, all that good stuff. But it ain't football. It's a practice. Like, there was actual tackling once upon a time. And I think they did go live, if I remember correctly, last year with basically the guys that they were saying to them, we don't really care if you get hurt, which is almost as good as that time that they had the preseason game in Winnipeg, and the field was so terrible that they deactivated 33 guys and then told the other 57, yeah, you guys got to play on this crappy field. So, you know, I think it's good for the young guys, even the ones that played in the SEC or the Big Ten, to see Lambeau Field full of fans and get that experience inoculated for what that's going to be like. But they, it ain't what it used to be. I'll put it that way.
I didn't realize Balog is the guy that torpedoed that.
Yeah, he got rolled up on a goal line play, and that was the end of live tackling with anyone who's actually valuable.
What year was it that they canceled the Hall of Fame game because the midfield logo, remember, was painted and was problematic?
I do. I don't, like, was that 15 when
Farr that was Aaron?
In? It
no,
was definitely Rodgers.
It was an Aaron thing.
Yeah, I don't remember. Yeah, it was definitely when Rodgers was still a starting quarterback, and Tausch was on the radio network, and I think Bulaga was still playing. So I'm guessing 15 or 16. I'm sure Pebble looked it up already.
All right, we have run out of time. Do have time for one question from the Cot, and that is, Jason, what's appropriate to watch about Jordan Love? Like, what? Or is there, you really don't ever see much in training camp anyway?
Footwork and accuracy. Footwork and accuracy. Is he putting the ball on guys where he wants it? Is he throwing guys open? Is he stepping into his throws the way that they want him to? You know, they talk all the time about everything you throw with your feet, because it's all about your footwork. And he did say that that's the thing that he needs to work on the most. I think I've heard people who know a lot more about quarterback play than I do say that when he gets lazy with his feet, that's when he gets inaccurate. Mm-hmm. So that I would say would be, if you're coming up to watch him, that's what I'd keep an eye on. But again,
about it every day? How was footwork and accuracy today, and get a grade from you, or is that too pushy?
No, not every day, okay. But on occasion.
All right. You were going to add something. I interrupted.
I know that happens all the time. Now I forgot. So
all right, that's fine.
Take care. Be good.
Thanks, good. Thanks, Jason. Footwork and accuracy. We'll discuss that with the professor, along with the Blues. Stevie Ray Vaughan. Is Kenny Wayne Shepherd a Blues guitar player? Does he qualify?
I don't know that he's kind of Mississippi Delta Blues or Chicago. He's not like the Chief Eddie Clearwater. I don't think so.
Okay, next. The John Anderson Homer Hour. And now that Jason is gone, it's the professor, me, and now Sugar Free with a question. Sugar Free, you're on with John Anderson.
Hello?
Yes, you're on. Millions are listening.
Hello. All right. 16. I just want to tell you guys, if you haven't went to the casino, the sports bet, whatever kind of betting you want to do, and you haven't put at least $100 on the Brewers to win it all, we're still sitting here at 16-1 on every platform I've seen. 16-1. Don't do division. Division's plus 105. What? League is plus 7. No, do 16-1. They get you the World Series. What do you think? We're going to win it.
I just want to help out all the bettors.
16-1, the number has not moved.
It'll move when they
lose.
We
are the best.
They've won 100 games in a row. I'll wait till they lose a couple, and then I'll get at least 17-1.
Homer.
What?
Homer.
What?
16-1. You're not going to get a better odds.
All right.
Get it right now,
all right,
buddy.
Well, let's
get
go to the
now.
Professor. I don't think he's the professor of gambling, but will there be better than 16-1 at some point the rest of the season, Professor 7-2.5 John Anderson? Yes or no?
I am not a gambler. I am not well versed in any of that. So if you tell me 16-1 is a great value, that's awesome, and I believe you, and I will still keep $100 in my pocket. Because you know what happens if they don't win? Then I'm out $100, and I'm just that cheap. I always tell people, like, I won't put money in one of those. I won't put a dollar in one of those things that used to change you for four quarters for fear that I won't get the money back.
So no, you're making that up.
God bless you.
You are making that up. You're just making that up. You can't get away with making stuff up on this show. It's the same thing I told Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers told me his favorite movie of all time was Back to the Future 3. And I said, this interview's over. You can't do that. Just go leave.
I worry about that. I do every time because you laid it flat and then, you know, or you try to zip, you put it in there and it sucks it in and then it spits it out and sucks it back. You're like, forget it. I'll figure something else that doesn't require quarters.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'll refuse to believe that. But it's in gambling, it's a value. I think that's a good value. I think a better value is whatever it was on Jacobs to gain more than, was it 1,000 yards? Pebble, you know we talked about that.
Yeah, it was to gain more than 1,000 yards. Yeah,
I think that's, you know, I think that's a lock. I think your value is, people like to get huge odds. It's 16-1. All we're discussing is how much you're going to bet. John Anderson, I think you should put $10 down on the Brewers at 16-1. I think you can handle. You have to gamble and be comfortable with what you lost. That's the number one rule. I think you're comfortable losing $10. Am I right there?
Dude, I go into horse tracks with my buddies, and I'm like, I'm not even putting down a $2 exact. And here's my thing, okay?
All right.
I am not morally objecting to. I really feel that I would like it.
Oh.
And so I stay away from it.
Wow.
I fear that if I got going, I'm like, oh, that could really be something. And, you know, and even guy, you know, and then I watched my friend Kenny Mayne during the pandemic.
Yeah.
And he's wagering on Swedish harness racing. And I'm like, see, I don't want to be that guy.
Hey,
I don't want
to. Let me give you a tip. And you know this. You ain't going to beat Kenny Mayne. You're not him. Okay? Now, that's not the only thing.
No.
We want a list of 30 things that fit just what you told me about gambling. His view on gambling is the same as his view on everything else. Certifiably crazy, but a good crazy and a nice crazy, and I would have loved to have spent more time with him. But crazy, right? Am I correct? Nothing he could do that would surprise you. Right? There's nothing he could have done that would have surprised you.
You go to a commercial break, and all of a sudden, here come two dice across the thing. He's like, new shooter coming out, because he just always had dice in his pocket. And he went, because he went to Vegas. He's comfortable with Vegas. You're talking about being comfortable, so he's okay. Steve Levy's always like, I always like to go to Vegas the first time and put $1,000 on red. Just to get the juices going. I'm like, you people are idiots. What do you mean just to get the juices going?
Really?
You know?
Wow. I don't got those juices. Yes.
And so they're both. But when Kenny's like, dude, I think we can get parimutuel wagering on Swedish harness racing. I'm like, dude, this is just, I love it. And I'm glad I'm in contact with it. I'm glad it's not me.
And I think he may have studied it. I think he may have studied it. But I may be giving him too much benefit.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know.
We could spend the whole...
He knows Hi-Li. I might do that. I would mirror his betting on Hi-Li. I think he's pretty
good.
There we go. Pretty,
now we're cooking. We could just do Kenny Mayne stories for a whole show, and I'd be happy. Next. Golf on the Tee is up next. This is the 7-2.5 John Anderson Homer Hour. We have the Discount Liquor Tour. By the way, somebody sent me this, the Institute. When you have the best record after 100 games, you win the World Series 36%. You lose the World Series 38%. You don't make the World Series 36. I think that adds up. So that means 74. That doesn't add up. That's 110%. I don't know.
It's 110%.
That means stats stink. Somehow I'll get it right. But if you make the World Series, you know, 60%. It might be 60-40. It might be pretty close to that. Make the World Series 60-40. So I'm fine with that. That's
winning 38% of the time and losing 36% of the time seems high.
Here we go. The numbers they had: 42 won the world after 100 games. Teams with the best record fared. 36% won the World Series. 33% lost the World Series. 31% didn't make the World Series. So 69% made the World Series. Now,
how far back does it go?
Well, it goes back to me too far. Because I think you have to start looking at when you have as many teams in the playoffs, right?
If you just won your, if you won your division, if you won your, won the pennant in your league up until 19, what was the NLCS 70 something?
Whatever. I think you'd have to start first of all with seven teams, and then see what it was with six or whatever. So we'll work on that. The Discount Liquor Twitter poll question. You ready for this?
Yeah,
I say I'll be disappointed if Edgerrin Cooper doesn't make the Pro Bowl this season. Agree or disagree? 79% agree, 21% disagree. I expect him to be second team All Pro. That's how good I think he's going to be. But I'm not sure how much I'd bet on that. But making the Pro Bowl, yeah, because you don't have to be that good to make the Pro Bowl, do you? I have not gotten the Institute to tell me how many rookies for the Packers ever were Defensive Player of the Week twice, which Cooper was. I'm sure we're a part of that.
See, I think he's got a better chance. I think he's got a better chance of being all pro
okay
than in the Pro Bowl. Just because early on when you're like a second-year guy, the Pro Bowl people, the people that vote, and even the players in the locker room aren't always quite have their finger on the pulse of it, quite like some of the other fellas. And then eventually it reverses to where you make the Pro Bowl more often than you should later in your career. But early on, that one gets, you get shorted there. So I wouldn't be surprised if he was like an alternate into the Pro Bowl, but he could very well be a second teamer by the guys who watch and write about it all the time.
Yeah. I'm going to be disappointed if he doesn't wow people. I expect him to have significant wow games. Is that a word you're comfortable with, or do you put it a different way?
Wow games?
Yeah. Like, you notice he's on the field. Like, Quay Walker, you always notice, where the hell is he going? What? He's beat his man. He's off. He's going to a different city. What the hell is going on? Cooper beats his man. Somebody's going down. All right. You can pass on that other than laugh. I don't know why it made the laugh. So Jordan Love.
It made me think of a guy when he coached Oklahoma State for many, many years, Pat Jones. After Jimmy Johnson went to Miami, Pat took over.
Right.
And they had a guy named Wendell Gaines on the front, in the interior line. And he always go, I don't know what the hell he's doing down there. He's just doing something. He shows up all the time, but half the time we don't even know what he's doing.
Yes. That's what the Packers need more in their defensive line.
But that's how I feel about Walker. Like, he shows up doing stuff, but like sometimes he's just passing through the frame, going to someplace where everybody's
I can't
not.
Compare him to any other Packer ever. Ever. Usually guys like that, they don't. All right. And what about the footwork and accuracy that Jason talked about with Jordan Love? What are you going to watch anything in training camp, or is that what you're going to notice once the season starts? I don't know.
Probably more when the season starts. I get it. Footwork's always great when you're young. But go look at Brett Favre and Aaron Jones. Aaron Rodgers. Sometimes the footwork's there. I get when you're starting out, you got to do that. You got to get like all your fundamentals in golf before you can start going off platform. So, yeah, you got to step in the direction. You got to do all that good stuff. Make sure you got the right drops. So that's all great. It'll all look good in training camp, though, because nobody gets to get after it. Right, and then what happens in game one when all the other guys have different jerseys and bad intention?
Yeah.
That's when we got to see if the footwork sticks. Right? Tim Tebow used to have the greatest arm angle in training camp. And then somebody would chase him around. Next thing you know, he threw it like a dog.
I knew you had some salt left. I think I speak for 100% of Wisconsin fans, and that is they will be disappointed if the Brewers aren't ahead when Miz comes out of the game. Right?
Nobody beats the Miz. Let's hope he's got another one in him.
It is on the road. How long till he pitches, huh? Next.